This is a special edition of the Condo on the Moon podcast. No Randy Savage. He's coming tomorrow. Don't worry. He'll be back. It is me, James Borbath, with the Swiss Millennial Super Champion, Chris Walder, for a very special edition of the podcast. Are you ready and prepared, Mr. Walder?
Yeah, man. This is special. We're recording this sucker on a Thursday. You better appreciate this, listeners.
Not only that, it's going up on the Thursday, so it's not like we did like in advance, you know, just so we could have our Fridays free. No, we're doing two podcasts this week. It is the week of WrestleMania. We want to at least make some effort to acknowledge that it is WrestleMania week and do a little more work, you know. And there was some big news story earlier in the week, Walter. I don't know if you're aware.
Yeah, it's been a slow week, right? I mean, people are talking about something, but I can't quite put my finger on it.
Something to do with that main event. Roman Reigns got an endorsement for Head and Shoulders. Was that it?
Maybe.
He should have one, by the way.
You think so?
He should. I mean, if anyone should have a hair product deal in WWE, Roman Reigns is the guy.
I'll still stick with Troy Polamalu of the Pittsburgh Steelers. But
I said in WWE.
I know, but I'm just saying, Polamalu, that hairdo, if Reigns had that hair, then we can have a decent conversation.
I think he has hair similar to that.
Okay, there.
We'll have to get a woman on the show to, like, we have all these questions about, like, what is attractive with males, and neither of us really know.
Yeah, what the hell do me and you know about hair anyways? Neither of us have it.
That's true, too. I mean, at some point, we will have to have a female panel to let us know if who is closer to knowing what women think on the show, me or you.
Exactly.
We'll do that in the future. That is something to look forward to. But obviously the big news, it was on ESPN, which is a big deal in and of itself. Brock Lesnar, he was on there with Michelle Beadle, and he let the news drop that he's retired from MMA. And not only that, the night before, he re-signed with the WWE, which rumors this week have it at a 3-year deal, and the money, probably insane given what the UFC was willing to give this guy, which has come out in the last day or so. The UFC literally at the last minute tried to double their offer, and Brock still said no.
Yeah, what did he say? They were offering him 10 times what he originally made during his first run, and then they offered him twice that, which must have been, like you said, an insane amount.
Which, in all honesty, like, let's put this in perspective. Brock Lesnar, when he originally came there, was a huge risk for the UFC. They were not sure he would be this great success that he became there. So, if it was his original contract, I know that sounds like a lot of money, but it probably isn't as big as people are thinking.
Yeah, totally understandable. But, I mean, 10 times anything, it was still probably a decent amount of change. And then doubling that at the last second, I mean, Dana White clearly wanted Brock Lesnar back. But as Lesnar alluded to during his interview with Beadle, you know, it has more to do with his family, his long-term health. And it has less to do with him wanting to just get back in the octagon. This is a guy who, he's accomplished everything there is to do in the UFC. I mean, he wasn't even at 100% health, and he still won the UFC Heavyweight Championship. So even if he did go back to kind of reclaim his legacy, I mean, he did end on a losing streak. Is that enough for him to kind of go through all of the training, go through all the bumps and bruises? He's an entertainer at heart, so I'm actually glad that he's going to stick around with WWE.
I think this was all a plot by Brock a long time ago. He's planned this for a while.
No, I mean, I don't think so.
No, I disagree, and I wrote this earlier in the week, and I go back to it. If you remember, folks will remember, they know who Ariel Helwani is, who is basically the MMA journalist. No offense to the rest of the people that cover MMA out there, but if you were to come up with one name that's MMA journalist, it's Ariel Helwani. And he had on Paul Heyman to promote Paul Heyman's DVD a while ago. And one of the things when he talked with Paul Heyman went out of his way to talk about Brock Lesnar in the MMA and how Brock still to that day would watch fights and say he could beat this guy, he could beat that guy, he could beat this guy. That was the start of planting seeds that Brock Lesnar was at least interested in going back to the UFC.
Well, that's not, you know, we're not arguing that, right? It was clear as day. He was training for months on end for a return to the Octagon. But I don't know if he talked to someone specifically, his wife, you know, some close personal friends. He was convinced that staying in wrestling was the better option.
No, I'm not debating that, but I'm saying he planned this a long time ago. Like, he didn't just wake up one morning and say, yeah, WWE.
Yeah.
Like this was a long-term plan by him, and I'm not as convinced he wanted to ever go back to the UFC. I know he said what he said, and I'm not here to dispute what the man says, but I have a hard time believing it at the same time. I think this was a master plan between two men, Paul Heyman and Brock Lesnar, and you know what? Real life is imitating art at this point, I think, because I think Paul Heyman was in on this from the get-go, and I think they did a masterful job at not only securing Brock's future, but let's face it, Paul Heyman isn't going anywhere as long as Brock Lesnar is part of this company. It would take something really major for that to happen. And, you know, Paul Heyman now, who has been arguably, I think we said it on this podcast last week, the MVP of the WWE this year in what he has done in promos and everything else, is also back with the company, which is huge.
Yeah, I mean, there's no denying that Paul Heyman's presence on television these past couple of weeks has kind of built the main event of WrestleMania, because, you know, Lesnar hasn't been there, of course, and we all know the quality of promos we'd get from a Roman Reigns. So thank God that Paul Heyman is not only sticking around with WWE. I mean, how long was this contract again? It's 2 or 3 years?
Rumor is 3 years.
Oh, okay. So,
which would guarantee he's never going back to MMA. Because
yeah,
he's not going back to MMA after 40. There's no way.
So do we think, I mean, just to change gears here, do we think this changes the outcome of WrestleMania at all? Or I remember you saying something about that on either your blog or Twitter, that maybe Lesnar walks out of the pay-per-view with the championship now just because of him re-signing.
I think ultimately he always was going to walk out. I think the title was going to change hands on Raw. I think I've said that on the show, because I think the WWE, even if they knew he wasn't coming back, wanted the illusion he was. But now there is no illusion. He's come out and said it. And for the people that are angry about the fact that he said it, I mean, are they insane? If you're the WWE and you know this, if you're Brock Lesnar and you know this because you make money off of whatever the WWE makes off this event, I'm screaming it from the mountaintops that I'm going to be coming back after Sunday or Monday. I would want everyone to know that, because, let's face it, more people are interested in watching Brock Lesnar in this match than they are Roman Reigns. I think that goes without saying.
No, absolutely. I agree. I think they should have done this, and they did the perfect time to do it, because with WrestleMania on Sunday, I mean, 99.9% of people were under the impression that Roman Reigns was going to win the championship or Seth Rollins was going to cash in. But now that Lesnar has point-blank said, I'm sticking with WWE for the next 3 years, okay, now there's that thought in the back of your mind that says, hey, maybe Brock Lesnar retains on Sunday, and maybe we get some sort of different run in the next couple of months. So I think this adds a hell of a lot more intrigue to a main event that has had one of the worst builds on the card, but now it probably has the most question marks surrounding it as well.
And where they did it on ESPN, they're casual fan base all over the place. I mean, because let's face it, WWE doesn't get on ESPN. It just doesn't. I mean, it's not even in their wheelhouse, and to have Brock on there, I mean, that was a huge deal for the WWE in terms of promotion. But, you know, when you take a step back and look at all this, I should clarify, too, the 3 years and all that, that's speculation that's been out on the internet. Brock never actually said 3 years. That's the number that's been thrown out there. But what Brock did say about his contract, if people are getting hopeful about a lot changing with Brock, it's still very much a part-time deal, and he got paid a very big amount of money based on what Brock has said. And that's the one thing that, you know, and maybe this isn't for us to even care about, but to me, I think booking-wise and all the stuff that fans care about, it's great to have Brock back. But financially, I think this is a terrible move for the WWE, because I don't see where you make this money back off of Brock Lesnar, because you didn't with the contract you currently have, and assumedly this one is even bigger.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot of money tied into one guy, and Brock Lesnar isn't going to be appearing every single week on every single pay-per-view.
You're lucky if he's showing up once every 3 months, let's be honest.
Exactly. I wouldn't be surprised. We're going to see Lesnar on the Monday night after Raw. We might not see him again until SummerSlam, really. I mean, it depends if he's still the champion, what goes on with Roman Reigns, but Lesnar's still going to be doing the same schedule that he did before, like you said. And
well, if he did his normal schedule, he usually sticks around for the pay-per-view after Mania, if he has
right.
unfinished business, which he would if he retained the title. Probably not, but there's going to be a new challenger or something. So, yeah, he's probably around for the next pay-per-view, then he splits for SummerSlam.
Yeah, but, I mean, if you look at the last year, a lot of people were kind of like, Lesnar's the champion, but he never showed up. It actually worked to WWE's advantage because it made every title defense that he had a lot more special. And, again, financially, I don't know how much money WWE has and if they can afford, really, for Lesnar to be making that kind of money. But at the end of the day, he's been a really good investment for them. And for him to be around for the next little while, that's even better. It's a major coup for that company.
Well, how I put it in terms, though, it's much easier for the UFC to make money off of Brock because they're still on pay-per-view. Like, it's, what, $60 for a UFC pay-per-view, right?
Yes.
More or less. I mean, that means for every UFC fan that wants to see Brock Lesnar, the WWE needs 6 network subscribers to make the same amount of money, in theory. That's a tough model. And I don't think Brock moves the network the way that he would move on pay-per-view, because it's just that one night thing with UFC. It's like, oh, it's Brock Lesnar. Oh, it's Ronda Rousey. I want to see that. It's more of an impulse buy, where the network is a commitment. The
yeah.
network's a relationship. It's not a, you know, night out at the bar where you see the girl with the beer goggles and you want to take her home. It's not that. That's what UFC is on pay-per-view.
No, I understand. And again, if you're an MMA fighter,
don't understand that too much, because you do have a girlfriend. But yeah,
I do have a girlfriend. Love you, Jen, if you're listening to this. But yeah, Brock Lesnar, if you're in MMA, you're fighting once or twice a year tops. And with the $60 that you would make from a pay-per-view, the WWE Network, which, by the way, I mean, I should say this right now, I've actually decided to order the WWE Network here in Canada to order WrestleMania. How about that? The guy who's been pooping on that thing for the longest time has succumbed to pressure and will be ordering it for WrestleMania.
And so you're going to cancel it, like, right after?
Yep.
Do you even know if you can do that, though, with the Canadian setup?
I can, yes. I made sure of that.
Before they turned it on, Chris Walter said, no, I can cancel this like on Monday.
I called Bell, and they said that I would only be charged for the one billing period, and that will take me through WrestleMania. It won't get me through to the next pay-per-view, but that's WrestleMania is all I really want to watch anyway.
Walter doesn't care. Anyway, I have not succumbed to that. In actuality, in all seriousness, the build to this WrestleMania talked me out of it.
You don't think even the WrestleMania card in general will just be like, well, it'll be a good show, the build sucks, but I'm open to being impressed?
No, but part of the reason I would go to the extreme of getting the network, I think, would be to get all the extra things that are tied to WrestleMania. And if I was really excited that it's WrestleMania week, I would want to see the Hall of Fame live and not wait to see it the next day. I would want to see, like, all the hype going on down there. I don't want to. I don't care. I mean, I'll watch the stuff, but I don't need to see it live. I don't need to see it right away.
Well, I used to be borrowing a friend's account to watch the WWE Network, but
they don't allow that anymore.
Yeah, exactly. So that's, I have no choice now. I have to basically order it. That's how you got me, WWE. You screwed me out of using my friend's account, and now I have to pay your damn fee.
Well, in all honesty, they should have done that like 9 months ago. Sorry to all the people that may have been getting the WWE Network the same way as Walter, and there was a lot of them. I was one for a little while there.
Hey, you could share Netflix. Why can't you share the WWE Network?
Because Netflix doesn't have to pay Brock Lesnar what is that? I'm trying to say the big trucks that deliver the money, Walter.
Hey, not yet. We might get a Netflix exclusive series on the life and times of Mr. Brook.
Brink's truck. Well, they're not even helping me out in my time of need.
I had no idea what you were alluding to.
The Brink's truck that the WWE has to back up to some backwoods place in Minnesota or Saskatchewan every month to Brock Lesnar.
Which he lights up for a bonfire.
No, he just takes the drivers and chucks them back to wherever they came from. And by the way, on a side note, do you think Michelle Beadle has the nerve to call him F-Face or no?
She'd be crazy to. She has a better chance taking out CM Punk than she does Brock Lesnar.
I'm not a Michelle Beadle fan, by the way.
When she was the one to interview Brock, that was pretty much an indication right then and there that it was going to be WWE related.
Either that or she had fallen out of love with the WWE and never wanted to go back there again.
Maybe, but she's WWE forever.
Well, and then Coach got in on it, and then it was all like a whole WWE love fest.
Exactly.
Oh, man.
Maybe if it was Ariel interviewing Lesnar, we could have got more MMA news, but nope.
No, you know who it needed to be? It needed to be our boy, Adnan Virk. Then you never would have known where it was going.
Oh, yeah, Adnan, my boy.
Yeah, if you're, I'm pretty sure he's got a high profile now down there in the States. So Adnan Virk, who works for ESPN, used to work for the Score up here in Canada. And even before that, before he was famous, he used to work behind the scenes at TSN.
There you go.
So,
history lesson for you.
Yeah, shout out to my boy Adnan, who probably doesn't listen to our podcast. Nope. Let's be real.
<Doubt it.
laughs> He used to be a wrestling fan back in the day, but I'm just saying he's probably not listening right now. Anyway, so we touched on it a bit, but obviously the booking for this match is totally up in the air now, and a lot of people think Brock Lesnar is coming out of this with the title. It wouldn't surprise me. Although it leads to some other questions, which are the things surrounding all of this. Now that Brock is staying, there was an interview with Chris Van Pelt where The Rock was asked, oh yeah, you're hosting Saturday Night Live on Saturday in New York. Where are you going to be on Sunday? The Rock would not answer this question, which leads to rampant speculation. We all know where he's going to be. It's going to be in Santa Clara, California. And they're going to set up a match, rumored to be Brock Lesnar versus The Rock. And where does this leave The Rock? Where does this leave Roman Reigns? Where does this leave all this stuff? Because it's very up in the air. Like, I almost think they're missing the boat by going Rock right away. Because I think if Roman Reigns inevitably is going to go heel, which I think is the only way it can go now for Roman, you're missing out on a money match with Roman and The Rock.
Which you can still do down the road, but WrestleMania 32, Cowboy Stadium, you need two of the biggest names in sports entertainment to go head-to-head, and CM Punk ain't showing up, Stone Cold Steve Austin ain't showing up, The Rock versus Brock Lesnar is your money match.
Although Hulk Hogan, with what he did on Raw there, he's ready, brother, just put him in there. He took Curtis Axel out with one punch, man.
Hey, Hogan was desperate for the rub that Curtis Axel was going to give him.
Hogan was begging to give that punch, let's be honest.
Yes, he was.
He was dying to do it. There's some people saying that that was actually supposed to take place at Mania, and that they had to book it on Raw.
Because no one would have cared at Mania. We've seen Hogan far too many times for it to be a special moment at Mania.
No, there was another reason, and I can't remember what it was off the top of my head, so I probably shouldn't have brought it up. But anyway, so what all becomes of this? And if you're doing Rock and Brock, I don't think that has to be for the title. And who the hell is the heel in that match?
That's a good question. Well, there's a year of build to lead up to it, so there's always a chance for a heel turn along the way.
Well, no, but the obvious heel turn would be Rocky helps Roman win.
At Mania 31, and then that leads to Brock at Mania 32.
Right. But I don't know if the fans are willing to accept Rock as a heel to Brock.
I think they are. You don't think so?
I don't know. Like, maybe, I mean, if The Rock was if The Rock, and The Rock is about the only guy who I would believe could pull this off, but if he did this slurping promo of his cousin Roman Reigns and how dare the WWE Universe treat him this way, Roman that is, and he is The Rock's family, and if you boo The Rock's family, you're booing The Rock. Some kind of a promo like this, and you know, he cuts it on, it doesn't even have to be like on the Sunday, if he cuts it the following Monday, because obviously if he's coming for WrestleMania, I assume he's going to be on Raw the next night as well. But if he does that kind of a promo, maybe.
It's so much easier for The Rock to transition into a heel anyways, and Brock Lesnar's kind of crossing that line of becoming so cool to watch that he's just going to get all of these naysayers on his side. Like, and now that the fact that he signed this contract, I mean, I was kind of worried at Mania 31 anyways that the crowd would just poop all over both guys, kind of like they did with the Goldberg-Lesnar match at Mania 20. But now that Lesnar's sticking around, I think that crowd was going to be so behind Brock Lesnar and so anti-Roman Reigns that if you go to a build to Mania 32 with The Rock, whether he gets involved on Sunday or not, Brock Lesnar's going to have a majority of the fans on his side. And The Rock, I mean, all he has to do is cut one promo and bam, he's a heel.
Yeah, I think he can pull it off. But I think the WWE can't be short-sighted in this. I think there needs to be the Roman Rock match, too. Because that's a match that can sell, too. Especially if Roman Reigns can get over as a heel. And I honestly think he can. Like, I mean, if you go back to that interview he did on Sam Roberts, he wasn't technically trying to come off as a heel, but boy did he. And if you told him to literally, yeah, just act like that, I think he could be a tremendous heel. And I think he could do a great job. And that wouldn't be good news for Seth Rollins, because I think that'll mean bad things for Seth Rollins. I think he's another guy who indirectly is going to suffer from this, because he's not going to be able to turn that briefcase into a title as long as Brock Lesnar's around.
Yeah, I mean, I was kind of I was thinking that Rollins would probably cash in at WrestleMania. Now, I think the chances of that are slim to none. Even the next night on Monday Night Raw, it depends who the champion is, of course, but I think Dave Meltzer just recently made a report about this, that Seth Rollins, like you, I mean, you said it yourself, he's screwed based on this entire championship situation, and especially if The Rock kind of comes into play. So what was once a glorious road to the WWE World title is now clouded in mystery. Who knows what happens with Seth Rollins now?
And you see, they dropped the ball, too, because I had been such a proponent of keeping the feud with Dean Ambrose alive. You could have still run that angle, and Seth doesn't look nearly as bad as he's going to now. Because Seth is going to try and take that title from Brock Lesnar. Assumedly, if Brock becomes a babyface aligned with Paul Heyman. Who, oh, by the way, Paul Heyman has to become a face now, too. A lot of cards are changing because of all this.
Yeah.
When you start to think about it. So Paul Heyman is going to be a face. And naturally is going to be lined up against the Authority, I would imagine.
Mm-hmm.
So now, the Authority is going to try and get the title off of Brock Lesnar. And with all the help of the Authority, Seth Rollins still isn't going to be able to do it.
Doesn't this kind of, I mean, I know you're so against the WrestleMania 31 card right now, but doesn't this just kind of get you a little bit excited? Because this main event, we have zero clue what's going to happen. There's like 8 or 9 possible outcomes for this match, and they're all pretty good. The only one that would really suck is if Roman just wins outright
as a baby face.
Yeah, and the show ends with like the fireworks going off and the confetti coming down. That's the worst case scenario. I think anything else would be brilliant.
Will we even have fireworks? Will it be dark enough for fireworks? That's been one thing that people have been talking about for the Undertaker's match. It's not going to be dark. It's going to be light outside.
At 11? Well, there's a time difference, right?
Yeah, 3 hours.
So that show's going to end at what, 8 o'clock?
8 o'clock local time.
Oh, wow.
So it's barely going to be dark for the main event.
That's true, yeah. I never even thought about that. Damn, I'm not good with this whole time zone stuff.
Yeah.
I forgot it was in California.
Yeah, you're right up there with R-Truth in geography, apparently.
Yeah, well, R-Truth has me beat, though, which is saying something.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll talk more about R-Truth and his grasp of geography in the other matches in this show tomorrow. because we're doing
a big WrestleMania preview.
Yeah, we're not going to get any predictions with this. We just wanted to kind of kick around what it meant to have Brock Lesnar now signed with the WWE coming back. And I think it's interesting on every level. And you mentioned, does it change my interest in the WrestleMania show? No, but it changes my interest going forward from WrestleMania, which I had none either, because I thought Roman Reigns as a babyface was a dead proposition going forward. That's the one thing I'm almost certain that we don't get now.
WrestleMania 31 and the Monday Night Raw following the show need to be out of the park, because if they're not, I, Chris Walder, will be taking a break from professional wrestling. And I've already said this on Twitter. My soul needs to be cleansed.
How will you do this podcast then?
I will follow along. I'm just not going to be watching. I'm not going to be sitting there every Monday night for 3 hours. I'm not going to DVR it. I'm going to read up online, and I'm going to watch these little crappy YouTube clips that WWE.com decides to post. That way I can save my Monday nights, I can save my heart, I can save my body, I can save my mind, everything else.
So you're kind of like a smoker that says he's going to quit, but you're really going to sneak a cigarette here and there. That's what you're
saying. Hey, that's a good analogy right there. That's exactly what I'm going to be doing.
I have wonderful analogies, Chris Walder. We've done this for over a year. You should know that by now. Anyway, a couple other things I wanted to talk about while we're on here, and so we can get them, not out of the way. Out of the way sounds wrong. But to talk about them so we will have time totally for our preview of WrestleMania. NXT ran last night, their taped show. Wow, wow. Kevin Steen and Finn Balor. They were given over half of this show. And boy, did they put on an old school wrestling classic in which Kevin Steen retained his NXT title, and now, recovering from his minor knee surgery, remains your NXT champion.
Can you please call him by his bloody name?
Oh, yeah, Kevin Owens. Sorry.
Thank you.
Well, you know what? You know why? The other thing we're going to talk about later, ROH is doing their show on Friday, and we can't talk about that on Friday because it'll be going on while people are, in theory, listening to our show.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't talk about the ROH show, and you think ROH, you think Kevin Steen, yada, yada, yada. Anyway, Kevin Owens, Kevin Steen, whichever you prefer. If you say Kevin Owens, you're probably one of these Johnny-come-lately Kevin Owens fans that I don't like. Kevin Steen fans know where it's at.
That's his name, though.
Either way. What's his name? His real name is Kevin Steen.
I know, damn it.
Like, Paul Levesque is still Paul Levesque. You can call him Triple H if you like, but he is Paul Levesque.
Wow, all right, fine, we'll play it your way.
I'm just filibustering, because you're right, I said it wrong, it happens. Anyway, Kevin Owens, Finn Balor, what a match, it was fantastic.
Yeah, really good bout. I caught the last quarter of it, the finish, obviously, Balor feigning a knee injury. Coming off the top rope, delivering the double foot stomp, and then obviously they both get up. Owens gives him the power bomb, 1, 2, 3. It would have been cool to see these two square off on one of the NXT TakeOver specials, but obviously there's too far a gap between it, and, you know, Balor won the number one contendership at the last TakeOver, so you kind of had to get this bout out of the way. But it's really good, and I think in terms of Balor, who actually might be at WrestleMania. We haven't ruled that out yet. He might be a part of the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, of course.
We'll get to that in a minute. But
I just wanted to allude to that. You know, we might get some Balor at WrestleMania, or we might get Neville, get a Tommy, or we might get Breeze.
Okay, when I say we're going to get to something later, Walter, why do you get to it
I'm
now?
Calling the shots now. You know what? I'm taking over. It's my boat now.
Listen, Swiss Millennial, you just sit there in your sidekick chair and come along for the ride. Anyway, that sounded so mean and nasty.
Weird. I'll just sit here and look pretty while you do all the hard work, okay?
Well, no, this is like radio. You need to talk.
I still need to look good, man.
I don't think that's a requirement for radio and podcasts unless you're filming them.
Yeah, that's true. But in closing to my point that I was trying to make.
Oh, you were making a point about
that? I was actually making a point, yes. I think Balor, a lot of people are assuming that Balor will probably get a run with the NXT Championship at one point. I don't think he is. I think he's going to be one of those guys who is just so, he's bigger, you know, on to bigger things. They're going to move him up to the main roster as soon as possible. I think even there was some reports out there that alluded to him being in NXT for only a little while, and then he can get on television as soon as possible. So Owens, Balor, great match. We might never see it again, though.
Although the door was left open in the way they booked it.
Oh, yeah.
Finn Balor had no face paint, so none of the paint, which Kevin Owens invited him to bring out his demon and paint himself up. He did not.
Well, he couldn't have done it because it was at a tapings, right?
Well, he could have, but,
you know. There would have been no time for him to do it.
Well, yeah, I think there would have been time.
He already competed earlier in the tapings, and then to do that match again, his paint would have been all chipped up.
Well,
wouldn't make sense.
No, he obviously would only do it for the Kevin Owens match.
Yeah.
Anyway, Walter, you're taking minute points and you're turning them into things. If we go long, it's your fault today.
It takes a long time to do the paint, James. It's not just something as, you know, like connect the dots or anything like that.
I've watched, who is it, Goldust do it. He does it really quick.
Yeah, because they fast forward through the video on WWE.com. It's time motion, damn it. All right, anyways.
Anyway, I'm just saying, if we go long, this is on you.
Yes, it is.
Officially now. Anyway, that being said, it leaves the door open and you had the injury angle. So a couple doors have been left open that Finn Balor at least has a case to say that Kevin Owens didn't get the best of Finn Balor.
So, yeah, there you go. Anything else on NXT you liked? I really liked Alexa Bliss. I'm loving this girl. Give me more Bliss, more Frozen stuff.
I'm telling you, I told you, this girl is going to be a hit on the main roster. I think, honestly, her road to the main roster is much easier than the road for people that are, quite frankly, loved more by the NXT faithful. I think she can easily fit into the main roster when she's ready.
I totally agree. I think it's easier for her than Sasha Banks, to be quite honest, because I think Sasha Banks' gimmick, you know, the whole boss being the cocky diva, we already see that with a number of the divas already on the roster. Alexa Bliss is original. She's tiny. She has, of course, which is still huge among kids. She has the kind of whole princess look to her. So good for her. She had a good showing. I really love that double knee stomp moonsault that she does. I think that's really cool. But yeah, good match. Sasha Banks retains. And one more thing. As much as I love Alexa Bliss, I feel the complete opposite away about the NXT Tag Team Champions right now. I am so sick of Blake and Murphy.
Oh, I wasn't even going to bring them up today.
But I just hope they need some airtime for like the 2 seconds I'm going to talk about them. I can't even talk because I'm so pissed off. I need them to lose the belts to Umore and Cassidy.
That seems clear.
Yeah.
That seems very clear it's going to happen. Unless Carmella somehow does a heel turn. That would be only way I could see Blake and Murphy retaining. But I wasn't even going to bring them up. I wasn't going to bring up the other backstage interview, but since he opened the door, all I'm going to say, they set up a match between Tyler Breeze and Hideo Itami, 2 out of 3 falls. It's going to be on next week. Should be great. Both guys have had some good matches with one another. But Tyler friggin' Breeze, man, the line of the night on NXT, saying to Devon Taylor that she was Barbara Walters. I literally almost fell out of my chair. A bit of a dated reference, but most people should have got it. Tyler Breeze is truly awesome, and that's a guy who, you know, when the moment comes for him on the main roster, I hope he makes the most of it, because I think that gimmick can fly wherever you take it.
And for any NXT fans out there, anyone who likes documentaries, May 5th on ESPN, E60 special, behind-the-scenes look at NXT. Although all of the footage is fairly old, I mean, this is when Xavier Woods and Corey Graves were all competing, but it has some exclusive interviews, a look at how NXT runs on a daily basis. I'm certainly looking forward to it. I hope we get it here in Canada.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll get it somehow by hook or by crook. Incidentally, you mentioned Corey Graves. This is from a while ago, but I had somehow missed this. His interview with Sam Roberts, I thought, was great. He did like a long sit down with him for about 50 plus minutes. Really interesting stuff. I really enjoyed that. So go seek that out before you get all the new Sam Roberts content with him down there at WrestleMania, because you know you're getting a ton of that. As Radio Row will be in session, I believe it's Friday morning, where everyone and their brother gets to do the same 8 interviews, and you can judge people and evaluate people as interviewers based on this every year.
Can't That's wait to hear everyone ask, are you excited about WrestleMania? Are you nervous?
I can't wait to hear Peter Rosenberg slobber all over the Bellas if they're on Media Row or Radio Row.
Oh, yeah, Rosenberg. Yeah, I'm more of a Roberts guy.
I mean, Sam likes the Bellas, too, but he doesn't slobber over them like Rosenberg, so...
Well, to be fair, I'd slobber over the Bellas, too.
No, but he slobbers over them because of their work great and their ability in the ring.
Oh, my God, really?
Yeah. Anyway...
Well, I'd slobber over them for a couple of other reasons, if you know what I mean. Hello.
Hey, remember that girlfriend thing I told you about earlier?
Love you, Ken.
Yeah, all right, then. I am not done talking about NXT, though. We have a couple other things to discuss. Emma has clearly gone to the dark side. Slapped the taste out of Bayley's mouth, telling her she's just a fool, and she doesn't get it. Kind of like Emma turning into Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, that's exactly what's happening.
Well, kind of, like the advice she's giving to Bayley, like they're lying to you. they're not telling you the truth. They don't love you.
What are they doing with Emma anyways?
It looks like they're repackaging her as a heel, and they're trying to get some fire out of Bayley, which I think is a good thing.
Last-ditch effort, it seems.
Yeah, but the one thing I am most excited about, Chris Walder, is this new girl coming in, Dana Brooke, who's the fitness model and, like a bodybuilder. I think the WWE has found their Ronda Rousey.
Maybe. Let's not.
This girl could be it. I haven't seen her wrestle, so I want to preface that. I haven't seen her wrestle a move. But if she's even halfway decent, you can protect her like a Baron Corbin, and you can get her off and running on a streak that would be epic and cool. And I really think this girl could pull this off.
Only we here at Condo on the Moon could hype up a diva who hasn't even wrestled a match, but the fact that she looks built and that she works out and she's a fitness model, we can compare her to the great Ronda Rousey.
Oh, there's no comparison in reality.
I know, obviously.
The best option for the WWE is the real Ronda Rousey, but the real Ronda Rousey tends to be a little bit busy these days. If there ever is a day she's going to wrestle in the WWE, I think it's 3, 4, maybe 5, maybe longer down the road. But if you were to have success with either this girl who I'm talking about or someone in that Ronda Rousey type character to eventually meet the real Ronda Rousey, that would be a huge women's match.
Keep it in your pants, buddy. I know how much you'd love that.
I think it would be awesome. Also, by the way, our wonderful CEO, what is Stephanie? Chief Brand Officer, is that what she is?
Yeah.
She's doing interviews, putting smiles on people's faces, because that's what Stephanie does. In one of these said interviews, we had Stephanie ask the question of, are you ready, Walder?
Sure.
What would she think if one of her daughters had asked her about becoming a WWE diva?
And what did she say?
It's already happened.
Ugh.
The oldest daughter of Triple H and Stephanie McMahon very much wants to be a WWE diva.
How old are their kids now, anyways?
They're getting up there. The oldest one, I think, is about 10.
Oh, so she's not even close to being a diva.
Oh, she's close. But no, actually, Stephanie said she'd have to go through school and, you know, be fit and all this nonsense. But what would that be like 10 years down the road?
It would be pretty cool. Triple H and Stephanie are obviously going to be a part of the company until they die, so it's not the biggest obstacle for their kid to get into the business, and, you know, they'll be pushed so hard that they'll be the first woman.
The first female WWE champion!
What are their names? Do you know their names?
I used to know, but I'd have to look them up, and we don't have time for that, Walder. And that's kind of creepy anyway, because they don't exactly put their kids' names out there.
Triple something. We need another letter.
No, the wrestling. Yeah, that'll be something. They'll actually get to keep their names, right?
Yeah. No.
All rules will be thrown out.
Oh man, that'd be funny.
That would be one. There's been talk. We've gone down the rabbit hole here, so we might as well continue. There's been talk that Mick Foley's daughter, Noelle, has been dabbling, training, doing some wrestling.
No, everyone loves Noelle.
Would they bother changing her name? Would they be that stupid?
I hope not. Everyone loves that girl on social media. Obviously, she's beautiful, but
wow.
Her wrestling knowledge, and she seems like a really cool girl, and she would be the most popular diva on the roster by far if she was to compete tomorrow.
There's a lot of nerd boys that have fantasies about her. Let's just put it that way.
She was the girl, I mean, you've obviously seen behind the mat, right?
Yeah, she's the little girl that cries.
Yeah, the one sitting ringside while her father was getting pummeled by a chair.
Yeah, she just makes us older folks feel older.
God, we are old now. If you ever needed a reminder that you are getting up there in years, watch behind the mat and realize that that little girl is now Noelle Foley, everyone's wet dream on Twitter.
Oh, there's lots of ways to make yourself feel old, Chris Walder. I can teach you them all.
Well, that's one anyways.
Yeah, that is a good one, actually. So there's that. But, I think that's all I wanted to cover on NXT. I have my new favorite angle now to book. And the other thing. They pointed out, Stephanie has never wrestled at a WrestleMania. She would very much like to do that. So the dream, AJ versus Stephanie, not dead.
you're setting yourself up for colossal failure, my friend.
Not dead. My idea is much more realistic now. If you're going to do my Ronda Rousey gimmick with this girl, that's how AJ goes out. The Ronda Rousey girl takes her out.
AJ won't be around for the next month. I mean, WrestleMania is going to be her swan song.
Well, yeah, but is she gone after that, or is she coming back?
No, she'll be gone.
She'll be gone, you think? I don't think the WWE lets her get out that way.
Why?
Because I think they want to make an example out of her, because that's what the WWE does.
Just pull a Punk then, just leave.
Yeah, she could do that, but I think it'll be a cat and mouse game where they will try and, you know, get one over on her. But
maybe they'll lose at WrestleMania. Maybe that'll be it.
Yeah, they're definitely losing at WrestleMania.
You think so?
That's Friday, Walder.
Yep.
But yeah, well, that wasn't a very big match. So, but I think that's been made fairly obvious.
I don't know. We'll talk about it on Friday.
Yeah, Peter Meltzer.
Peter Meltzer.
Peter Meltzer. How did I do that? Rosenberg. Peter Rosenberg. Peter Meltzer. He wishes. He is no Dave Meltzer. Anyway, that would be his prediction.
Bellas, obviously. It would be, if it was the Bellas versus Cena, he'd take the Bellas.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. He's a pretty big John Cena mark, too. Nikki versus John, who wins?
Battle of the Sexes.
We already saw that on Total Divas, actually. Cena slaughtered her.
Cena. In what?
They had like the decathlon competition. One of the events was beer pong, which I have to admit, probably one of the first times I popped for Cena in a very long time.
It's so weird that you know all of this.
I know. I'm a fountain of misinformation and just garbage facts. It's
very
much unbelievable.
So.
Anyway, what is not garbage is what's coming up in Redwood City, California, which I have been told by Google Maps and just people in general, about a half an hour outside of the whole San Jose Mecca area where WrestleMania is going on. ROH is having one heck of a card. It is going to be quite interesting going down Friday night. Redwood City all sold out, so no sense giving addresses and stuff. But we have our main event. We have Jay Briscoe taking on Samoa Joe in what is primarily his last match before he may come to NXT and WWE and all of that. As he challenges Jay Briscoe for the title, based on what I just said, Jay Briscoe probably going to retain in this one. Although, the one thing that's very interesting is that KTR, or what are they called? The guys with the red masks.
Yeah.
ROH. I got to look it up because I always forget what they're called. But those guys have promised to KRD. Why did I think KTR? They might even. They probably are the kingdom behind masks. Let's be honest. You know, my good friend Adam Cole has not told me that. But they have definitely teased that on ROH television. Anyway, Jay Briscoe, barring interference, some wacky finish, likely to retain there in that match, I would think.
Yeah, Samoa Joe, Jay Briscoe, both two guys who are on their way out, so soak up the ROH goodness while you can, because they're not going to be around much longer, guys.
We have Jay Lethal, the longest reigning television champion now, I believe. Taking on Jushin Thunder Liger, the legend from Japan. Again, Jushin Thunder Liger probably isn't sticking around, so probably a showcase match for Jay Lethal. He deserves it. They're giving him a few of those lately, and I think well-deserved for Jay Lethal. And I think, based on watching ROH television lately, we're on a collision course for Jay Briscoe and Jay Lethal at some point. And I think, because there's rumors the Briscoes could leave too, I think Jay Lethal may end up holding both belts.
Yeah, he certainly deserves it. I mean, his run with the television championship has really just kind of cemented the importance of that belt. Again, in any wrestling company, it's all about the guy who holds it and what he makes of it, and he's certainly maybe even outgrown the television championship. I think he would be the perfect candidate to become world champion, whether he combines the titles or not.
Well, when we talk about tomorrow, about that whole thing about restoring the Intercontinental title, Jay Lethal has clearly cemented that television title and taken it to another level. And it was already, I think, a pretty credible title in ROH. But he took it to another level. And now it's almost seen on par, much like in New Japan, where you have Nakamura with the Intercontinental belt over there in New Japan. It's almost 1 and 1A with the world title, and same thing with ROH.
Yeah, great point, James.
Thank you. World Tag Team titles, my boys, the Kingdom, that would be Matt Bennett, Michael Bennett. What is with me with names today?
They're your boy.
Michael Bennett and Matt Taven with Maria Kanellis. And I am telling you, I have a feeling Adam Cole is going to be at this show.
Ooh, spoilers.
I don't know. It's not a spoiler because I don't know, but I just get the feeling that Adam Cole is going to show up here somewhere, somehow. Maybe it happens in this match as the Kingdom challenge for the ROH Tag Team Championships against Red Dragon, who I got this stat off of an ROH show, which is pretty amazing. In the last, what was it, 2 or 3 years? I think it's 3. For only 91 days, Red Dragon has not been your ROH Tag Team Champions. Pretty amazing.
That's crazy.
It is a crazy stat. With this weekend and all the craziness that comes with it, who knows who comes out with Red Dragon? Because they've come out with Shayna Baszler in the past. They've come out with another MMA fighter as well. Who knows who comes out with Red Dragon? That said, those guys from the CRD, is that what I said it was?
No, you're terrible with names today.
I know, it's bad.
Oh, like the KRT?
KRT, KRD. I think it ends in D, Walter. We're going to look it up again, because apparently I have short-term memory loss. Anyway, those guys in the red mask, I was right, it's KRD. Apologize now, Walter.
I'm sorry.
That was right off of ROHWrestling.com, so you need to respect and recognize. I think those guys somehow are going to get involved in this match, which is going to be interesting because all the speculation has been up to this point. The guys behind the mask are the Kingdom. Well, two of the Kingdom are going to be in this match. So,
yeah, they're teasing. Yeah, they're teasing that it's the kingdom, but that's just making you think that it's them, and then the swerve becomes even greater when it turns out that it's not them.
Or it is them, but just for this match, they're swerving everybody, and it's two other guys.
I don't get why it would be the kingdom, to be honest.
Well, because if you've been following along, Walter, they're doing all the kingdom's moves. They're making it's kind of like, go back old school WWE. They had the giant machine and the machines, and everyone knew it was Andre the Giant, but, you know, it was so obvious. But no one would actually say it was him. This is the heel version of that, where everyone's saying, it's them, but, you know, it probably isn't.
Exactly.
Who knows? I have a sneaky suspicion it might actually be one of them.
You think Cole, maybe?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I wonder how Adam Cole feels about everything with his kingdom, given what happened to him, and given where they were when it happened to him.
Well, it would be an interesting swerve. I just don't know who else would be with him.
Well, all I'm saying is, you know, the kingdom, and I love all of them, Adam included, but Michael Bennett, Maria Kanellis, Matt Taven, they have said, with Adam Cole's blessing, we're all in Japan, but look what happened to poor Adam while they were in Japan.
Oh, yeah. Okay, maybe.
There's an angle there to be had, I think. Maybe babyface Adam Cole before he goes off and leaves the company and goes to NXT.
Yeah, becomes NXT champion.
Yeah, you know. Well, I don't know about that. I think, I'm convinced, like Adam Cole said he was going to be ROH champion forever. I think Kevin Owens could be NXT champion forever.
He enters the Hall of Fame.
Still as the NXT champion. With a longer reign than Axel's streak in the Royal Rumble as NXT champion.
By the way, another ROH thing here, and you're still going to run through the card, I assume.
Yeah, we're going through it slowly.
I watched an entrance online, I think it was from an old ROH television in recent months or whatever, a guy that was competing in kind of that prospects tournament.
Yes, yes.
I saw the entrance. His name is Dalton Castle. You know who I'm talking about?
He was actually on ROH TV this very week.
Oh, was he?
It's funny you mentioned him, yeah.
Oh, my God, he's my favorite now. He is my number one guy in Ring of Honor. My God, that entrance was phenomenal.
Okay, and we're still confirming you have a girlfriend based on this.
Oh, come on, the party peacock, that is amazing.
It is quite the entrance. If you haven't seen it, go check it out. It's actually on ROH television this very week.
And he's a radio guy, too. He has his own radio show.
Oh, does he? I don't know a lot about him. I've seen him, though.
I looked at his on YouTube, and he actually interviewed some WWE guys. He had Kofi Kingston on.
Wow. Well, there you go.
He's a tiny guy, but man, that entrance. Adam Rose.
He is very tiny. Anyway, what had happened was, for people on ROH television, this is a spoiler, so if you don't want to know.
You're spoiling something.
You should have watched by now. Because it's now, ROH television happened on the last weekend, and we're now on Thursday. If you haven't watched it by now, you're not much of an ROH fan. So screw the spoiler. This is what happened. The Peacock Boy that you just mentioned, Dalton, he came out after Dijak, who won that tournament you speak of, decided to forfeit his shot at Jay Lethal that came with winning the tournament and joined the House of Truth. So instead, Dalton got the shot at Jay Lethal, and, well, he didn't win.
Ah, poop.
He is quite the entrance, though, and he has the two guys with him. It's all very bizarre. If there wasn't a Fandango, this would be the closest thing to it.
That entrance, man, it's never going to get old.
And you know what's funny? To me, he's positioned as a babyface right now, but for that ROH crowd, that would seem to be a heel gimmick to me.
Oh, yeah, totally. But people just love it. It's very, 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 very unique, and people dig that.
Okay. Another unique individual that Chris Walder spoiled last week is leaving ROH to join the WWE creative team, takes on BJ Whitmer, if you don't know who we're talking about, Jimmy Jacobs, after a long stint with Ring of Honor, is now going to join the WWE creative team, and now we can blame Jimmy Jacobs if Raw sucks.
Yeah, the zombie princess failed to deliver the goods, didn't give Bray Wyatt enough TV time.
Nothing to do with Vince, nothing to do with anybody. Jimmy Jacobs, it's all on you now, just so you know. BJ Whitmer is his opponent. Obviously, this makes sense because of the decade and all that, and I guess BJ Whitmer gets the win. Because why would Jimmy Jacobs win on his way out the door? That doesn't make a lot of sense. Although in Ring of Honor, you never know. Ring of Honor is the type of promotion, they just might have Jimmy Jacobs win.
Yeah, it's been done before where a person leaving gets the win, so don't rule it out.
I just think it would be bad for the decade gimmick, like with Jimmy leaving.
Why?
Because now
the
Whitmer
decade's already
loses.
Done.
It's not done. No, they are rebuilding it.
Yeah, well,
they're rebuilding it. They have BJ Whitmer. They have Adam Page, who was on our show. But now, the big kicker, he's always been giving the gears to Steve Corino. The new young boy for the decade is Steve Corino's son, Colby Corino.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's the new young boy. So that decade gimmick is still going. I think eventually, even though Steve denies it, we're getting a Whitmer versus Steve Corino match at some point.
Oh, joy.
That's happening. No, I think it'd be great, because I think people love Steve now, and he would be a huge babyface in that match. But that's not happening on this card.
Oh, yeah, for Corino, I'd be excited. For Whitmer, not so much.
No, but I think, after all Whitmer's put him through over the last year and a bit, I think it would be great if, finally, Steve Corino said, I've had enough, and went after him and took him out.
Super kick!
Corino doing his super kick would be something to see. Michael Elgin versus Frankie Kazarian. Interesting matchup, kind of out of left field, because Kazarian normally wrestling tag team with Christopher Daniels. Elgin probably gets the win here. I don't see why he wouldn't. And then we have Christopher Daniels, because his tag team partner is busy. He's going to be taking on Roderick Strong. Should be a great match between these two, but again, I think Roderick Strong will probably get the Duke in that one.
Those are like the epitome of filler matches. I mean, you're literally separating a tag team so you can put two singles matches on the card.
Yeah, pretty much. And also signed to appear, Mark Briscoe, Matt Sydal, who has been injured, but I guess will be cleared to wrestle by this point, and ACH, and let's face it, WrestleCon's going on. Every wrestler in the world is in the San Jose area. Cards subject to change or additions clearly applies here for ROH, I would assume.
Yeah, I would think so, yeah.
I mean, just alone, I know our local guy here, Ethan Page, he's down there in San Jose. He's wrestled for ROH before. Josh Alexander was on their television or not on their television, but he was on their tour in Milwaukee just recently. Had a great match with Michael Elgin, who was one of the people who helped train him. So, you know, who knows? Lots of people could show up. King Kong Bundy could show up. I don't know.
Again, random King Kong Bundy?
He could. WrestleCon. You never know.
WrestleCon, okay.
He'd go down to WrestleCon if you're ROH, say, hey, we need somebody to do a match. We got, you know, $50. Who wants it? I mean, that could happen. You never know. But, yeah, so I don't know. Looks like a pretty good card for ROH in terms of, you know, the match value that you're going to get. Although it seems strange that the KRD is promising all this change, because the only change I see, even likely, is the Kingdom taking the titles off of Red Dragon.
It could be more. You never know.
Given what we know, no.
Well, we don't know. Again, we don't know who these people are, what they're capable of. I mean, this could be like a dawning of a new era.
But we do know Samoa Joe is going to the WWE, and he's not taking the ROH title with him.
Or is he?
Well, that would be a hell of an angle. Let's put it that way, because that would mean ROH is in cahoots with NXT.
Yeah, an exchange of talents, perhaps?
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, and Jushin Thunder Liger is not taking the title back to Japan.
Yeah, that's a given.
Although, if there was hope of either, that would be the one I would say would change, because Lager will be back come May for the joint shows with the ROH.
Yeah,
so if there's any chance, that would be it. And then maybe the KRD could be guys from New Japan.
Yeah, that would be something else. Could be.
There you go. Hey, it's not too late, ROH. If that wasn't the plan, make it the plan.
They're all wearing masks. You can put anyone you want.
That's
that
right. Place. You don't need... That's the wonderful thing about masked angles. I wonder how many masked angles in wrestling have literally been booked on the fly. I mean, we know some famous ones. Obviously, recently was brought up the whole... not Shockmaster, but the other one where Ric Flair ended up being...
the Scorpion.
Yeah, the Black Scorpion. But I wonder how many gimmicks have been like that in wrestling over the years.
Quite a few, I would imagine.
Yeah, I mean, it just seems highly likely, you know, that, wrestling doesn't... It's not as pre-planned as we all think. Like, for example, I guarantee you they have not written the main event for WrestleMania.
No, they probably have an idea of what they're going to do, but it's subject to change.
It's subject to if Brock likes it or not.
Touché.
No. That's the one thing that is great about Brock Lesnar, I will say, as we kind of pull this full circle. Brock Lesnar, guy doesn't care about winning and losing. He literally will win or lose to anybody.
Yeah, he's not very picky. He's just in it for the competition. For the match itself, and so again, there's Reigns could win the title on Sunday, and Lesnar wouldn't say a damn thing about it.
He wouldn't
He's
care.
His money.
He wouldn't care if Cheeseburger got to do a run-in in WWE and pin Brock Lesnar. Still wouldn't care.
Okay, everyone has their limits, James.
Hey, Cheeseburger had a heck of a match on ROH television with our very own Matt Taven. It was very entertaining.
Lesnar's head weighs more than Cheeseburger.
Cheeseburger is... Don't you be down on Cheeseburger.
I'm not. It's
this is
him
the
or
second
Brock.
Time that you have run down Cheeseburger on our show.
It's him or Brock Lesnar. Come on, man.
Well, that's an easy choice. Cheeseburger.
Yeah, okay. Now we're just... You're slurping Cheeseburger like Rosenberg slurps the Bellas here.
No. I like his heart and his moxie. Because it's obvious he's never going to win. But he keeps coming back.
All right, have your fun.
And maybe he learns another new move from Jushin Thunder Liger. Because last time Liger was here, he taught him the palm strike. So now maybe he can learn a second move. And, you know, maybe this builds into a whole repertoire for Cheeseburger.
Now I'm hungry.
Well, that's good. We're almost done then, Walter. Anything else non-WrestleMania-wise that you wanted to talk about this week before we close this down?
No, I mean, we will definitely have a lot to talk about on Friday. For WrestleMania, a stacked card indeed, although neither of us are overly excited for it. Like I said earlier, I will be watching live on the WWE Network. Bell, don't screw me over. I only want a month. You told me that was the case. And I mean, we're going to talk about the ladder match. We're going to talk about Rollins, Orton, the Battle Royal, the main event, everything in between. So be sure to keep an eye out on that. And anything else you want to add?
No, I think that's about it. I think that's about all. All I will say is a great Canadian tradition is coming to an end as we speak while we're recording this. If people aren't aware, Tim and Sid, who do a show on the Fan 590 locally in Toronto, they're now going to be doing a television show. They had a famous segment on their show called Name That Wrestler, and we're getting down to the final strokes here of the final episode of Name That Wrestler, and Jimmy Corderas, former WWE referee and ringer in this contest, is tied for the lead with 6 so far. So we won't know. I'll tell you tomorrow if Jimmy pulled it out. How about that? Because we will be back tomorrow talking WrestleMania.